It was on this particular occasion, it was on the evening preceding the crucifixion, and how our Lord and his chosen friends were gathered together for a simple meal earlier that two of his disciples had prepared. There was a peculiar interest in this Last Supper. It was the last of which they were to partake of together until they would meet again in the kingdom of God. Until they come together in the kingdom of God. Very blessed had been the relationship of Jesus and his disciples during the time that they had been here on earth together. And when we think of this relationship that Jesus had with those 12 men, how for 3 years they had been together, how they had seen the joy and the happiness and the suffering and all of those things that they had endured together, and the very depths of his heart was broken because he realized that their fellowship would be fading out in the next few days. He had enjoyed so much in his earthly ministry, the comfort that he had from those disciples. I would not be wrong when I say that many of our pastors today have people in their congregation, and we love every one of you, but there are people in our congregation that we can go to in an hour or time like Jesus went to his disciples there before the feast or this Lord's Supper. Events that touch our lives that we need someone to lean on. There is always a Peter, James, and John in every congregation. Wherever Jesus went, you always found those three there along with the rest, but they stood out over above all of the rest. And I can appreciate why Jesus wanted the fellowship of these disciples here just a few hours before he was to suffer, because there were things that he needed to establish with them. My mind goes back in my own ministry of 40 years. I celebrated my 40th anniversary on the 16th day of March of this year. But there is someone in each of those congregations, some special people that stand out, that we had had a particular type of fellowship, and so it was with Jesus. They had sat together in many places of worship. They had traveled the highways and the hills of Galilee and Judea. They had slept on the same floor. They had shared the same privileges one with another. They had experienced that experiences that had come into their lives that stood out, that had planted and entwined around his heart, that stood out on this particular occasion. And now that they were to be parted from each other, he wished to make a permanent appointment with them. How many of you, as you have gone on a journey or you have left someone and said, at a particular time, we will gather together, you in your place and me in mine, and we will have our Bible reading, we will be praying at the same time, and somehow through this Spirit that we are interwoven into the lives of these individuals that we love. How many young men, as they have gone overseas, have taken a ring and placed it upon the finger of some special girl and said, this will remind you of me and me of you. And so these were the events that had taken place, and here in this supper, Jesus was trying to establish something of that sort. He wished to make a permanent appointment with them, so that through all of the days and the years and the ways of life, that as they sat and talked and drank with him, as they had done in the flesh, they would do it in the spirit. This is natural. This is being human. When we feel like that we need just something to remind us of someone else. Was this meal something new? No, it was something that had been going on for some time. Friends, as I said, who are parting, they give Bibles, they give books, give different things to be reminded by. And whenever Jesus at this table said, now, what I'm leaving with you is the Lord's Supper. That whenever you eat this, remember me especially. And I'm grateful for this opportunity that as we partake of this meal, we do remember him. For he has said that as often as you eat and you drink of this cup, that you do remember me and you do show forth your love for me until I come again. Whatever his glory might be, he wanted to feel that it would make no difference in the friendship of one another. We have friends and we have loved ones in our life that we have come in contact with, that it doesn't make any difference what the event is, we are still drawn close to that individual. There are people, since I've been home, I was over in the Princess Anne area, old Princess Anne County, over at Back Bay. And we visited in the home of Mrs. Evelyn Ruoff, who many, many years ago, I stood beside her bed in the hospital at Virginia Beach when she was being prepared for surgery. And as we got ready to leave, she said to me, Uncle Willie, I will never forget you. Said those words that you prayed in your prayer that Sunday, that morning when I was getting ready to go into surgery. Said I was dozing off from the shock that they had given me. But said, I remember your prayer when you said, God, guide the hands of these doctors, or those doctors who are going to operate on this loved one, and restore her to her health and her home with those that love her. Said that was the last thing that she remembered when she went under. And it was the first thing that came into her mind when she regained consciousness, that everything was going to be all right because Uncle Willie had prayed that the doctors would guide her hands. These are the things that Jesus had done with his disciples that he had forgotten most likely. But yet they in their hearts had remembered those things, and this is what we do today when we gather around this communion table and partake of the bread and of the wine. Jesus wanted us to remember him, and this is what we're going to do. It was great. It was in this great simplicity that the Lord took bread and broke it and said, eat, this is my body. I don't believe that Jesus intended to infer that it was actually his body or that this bread was becoming his body. That same implication was given when he took the cup and said, this is my blood of the New Testament which is shed for you. I don't believe for a moment that his disciples would, or his disciples thought of taking this literally, that it had become his body. Is it for a moment to think that Simon Peter, who just a few moments before had refused to let Jesus wash his feet, would have partaken of the body of Jesus? I can see Simon Peter right now bristle up if he thought somebody thought such as that. But he wanted them to know that this was a symbol. The disciples knew that the cup would not turn into a covenant and that the bread turned into his body. They had often heard him say, "I am the door." He didn't mean a door that was hanging on hinges that would swing to and fro. He said, "I am the vine. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of the life." And all of these things that they uttered when he said, "This is my body." There is no doubt that this service that we are to partake of, to participate in, and that particular service there did more to develop the idea of the spirit of Christianity than any one thing that Jesus could have done. Because there was no bickering there. There was no envy, no strife, no Jew, no Greek. They were all one as they had come together in that around that table. And this is a beautiful part of it all. And we should remember that at that sacred moment, when he ate the bread and drank of the cup, we not only show the oneness with those who sat around us and eat of the same loaf and drink of the same cup. There is no time when we are able to come into closer contact with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit than when we gather around this table and remember that Jesus had established this as a covenant between us. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden was the covenant that God had established with Adam and Eve. And we look at that and remember that the rainbow was the covenant that God had established with Noah when the flood was over, when he said, "I will no longer destroy the earth by water." It was a covenant that had been made. And certainly, we remember that with Abraham, the covenant of circumcision was the covenant that God had established with Abraham. And the Passover supper was to Israel and to you and to me a new covenant that God has established with us, in which he undertakes to be to us a God, and to take us for his people and remember the sins that we have committed no more, and to put the Holy Spirit within my heart, or in your heart and my heart. No condition is given other than to love him and to follow him. That we, our salvation comes not by works. And I'm so happy today that we do not work for salvation, but we work because of salvation. We do not partake of the bread and of the cup for salvation, but we partake of it because of salvation. We are not buried in baptism with him to rise to walk in the newness of life for salvation, but because of salvation. And so he puts the Holy Spirit within us on condition not of our works, but of faith in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And as often as you and I partake of the Lord's Supper, we do show forth our belief in his return until he comes. In closing, let me remind you that never let us forget that the Lord's Supper is a bay window of the church through which she looks out, standing on tiptoes to catch the first ray of his second coming. Every service echoes with the words, "until he comes." And with throbbing hearts of anticipation of that marriage supper with the Lamb that we will share with him when we shall eat and drink with him in heaven. Shall we pray? Our Father, how grateful we are for the blessing that you have given unto us, for the simplicity of the service, for the simplicity of the Lord's Supper, and yet in all of its simplicity, the power that comes into our lives as we look upon this wonderful opportunity. Continue to bless us now. And if there is one here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to that heart as we sing our song of invitation. For Jesus died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In his name we pray. Amen.
The hymn is number 347. Let's sing.
God speaking to your heart this morning. If he is, this is the opportunity. We see miracles happen in life. This dear brother's coming, accepting Christ, wants to be baptized, become a member of this church. Brother Forbes come, rededicating his life. He lives at Great Bridge, and he will find him a church there, I'm sure. There are others that need to do this. We'd be glad on one more stanza. We're going to sing one more stanza. We'd be glad to have you come right now. Coming on profession of faith, Floyd W. Newman. He says that he's accepting Christ as his personal Savior. He desires baptism and wants to become a member of South Norfolk Baptist Church. How do you do this, Mike? Do you ask? All who would join me in welcoming him into this congregation would say aye.
Aye.
Brother Newbury, it's a joy to have you come and accept your Christ and may God bless you in your church home. After the service is over, when you all please come back. Thank you so much. It's always a joy to see people come to Christ, and how we know that there's joy in heaven. They say that over one who comes to Christ. And we know there's joy in heaven today over Brother Newman coming. We'll make some arrangements about your baptizing the pastor's on vacation, but something can be done about if you want to wait until he comes back or whatever you want to do. Someone will visit you this week and make some plans. We now come to the time that we observe the Lord's Supper. This is not my table, it's Christ. We extend to you an invitation, if you are a Christian, to participate with us in this service. I think it's something that draws us closer and nearer to God. Something to be thankful for, that Jesus loved us enough to give himself for us. The deacons will come forward. And after the Lord's Supper, I want to ask you to do something special. You have a hymn that you're going to sing. The number's in the book, but you ought to know it. And as we stand to sing that, blessed be the tie that binds, would you take a hold of the hands of somebody close to you and we join hands in closing and let that be our benediction. taken into your own. Then as we remember the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary for the remission of sin, our hearts rejoice as we partake of that symbol, which is a covenant that Jesus established with us, assuring us of our salvation. Bless this part of our service, and may it become a spiritual food for our spiritual bodies. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the meal was over, they stood and sang a hymn. Will you join hands as we sing the first stanza of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds?